Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Pei Aleph, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Siriz Chama Kohen Shenasa Bat Yisrael. So here we have an interesting situation in which we're going to be moving on from Siriz into Androgynous, Tumtum and Androgynous. We haven't really defined those guys we talked about as Saris. Okay, I mean, a Saris is somebody who's infertile, and we had two different types, actually three, if you take into consideration the Mishnah, in which for the purposes of dealing with the concept of someone who had a Shas Kosher, according to Rabbi Akiva, we had a special new definition of congenital Saris. Fine, okay, so we have a congenital Saris, we have a Saris Chama in the normal sense, which is a naturally caused Sirus, and then we have a Siris Adam, which is something that happened through an accident or through an intervention, human intervention. Fine. But we never actually got to the other problems in genitals. Of course, the other problems in genitals are where the sex is not clear. So we have two variations of that. We have the androgynous, who has both sexes, and then we have the tumtum. Now, the tumtum basically is one or the other, but you cannot find the genitals without operating on, it's more than skin, I mean, it's really an abdominal covering that's fallen over the genitals. It's quite a complicated operation to be metakena tumtum, actually. And the fact is that we haven't talked about what the din is of gabi truma there, and since here in Yevamot, we're going through all of the inyanim that have to do with reproduction and the need for hakomas hanefesh and the relationship to Piri of Arivia from the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis and the Lotohu Vera'ah and so on and so forth in all its variations. Since there are going to be clearly dinim vis-a-vis yibum of an androgynous and a tumtum, it's time that we dealt with those issues. So we move on, talking about the Siris Chama. A Siris Chama, remember, has no problem of Iser, Lavo B'Kahal. It's only a Siris Adam. There it says, P'su'a Daka, Lo Yavo B'Kahal Hashem. Okay, and he's listed together with the Mamzeres and the other Pegamim in the Kahal. But a Siris Chama, so if he's a Kohen and he marries a Bas Yisrael, it's perfectly kosher marriage. And because of that, she is now allowed to eat truma. In fact, that seems to be so evident that the Gemara is going to ask, well, I mean, why not? What would you have thought? Now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, move on to say a fascinating thing, that if an androgynous is a Kohen and he marries a Bat Yisrael, she can eat truma, which is shocking because we always thought that an androgynous who is both male and female, has both male and female genitals, obviously a little bit strange genitals, but nonetheless, he's able to be machil, his wife. So apparently they must hold that an androgynous is a male. We'll take a look at that as the Gemara evolves. Rabbi Yehuda says, a tumtum who upon operation was found to be a male, nonetheless should not, if there's any other brother, so then he cannot do the chalitza to be matir her because of the fact that, what does it mean, loya chalots? Because loya chalots implies that he shouldn't be the one to be chalitz, right? And that's basically what Rashi says. If there's another brother, he shouldn't be chalitz, but that's very strange. I mean, so what does that mean? That maybe he should be chalitz? So in other words, apparently what we're saying is, it's what it sounds like, is that it's sort of like an Eitzah Tova, Lo Yachalotz, because then we're going to still have a suffix with the other brothers. Okay, but that's very strange. And many learn that Rashi is just saying that he's Osir for him, meaning because if he does, so then people might think that she is muteret if there's another brother. That's all that Rashi is saying. So it's osir to be cholitz, not an itzer not to be cholitz. And that's the pashtus of the sirt. Okay. And that's because he's a soris. Now, why he's a soris, that's not so clear. Because apparently, I mean, what he's saying is that he is considered to be, because of the fact maybe that his, even though he's a male, maybe his reproductive system was damaged by this problem that he had of being buried in under an abdominal flap, so it was very hot and so on, that he became a Soris, but then it would be a problem about why he would be Usser, because over there, Lechora, he would be a Soris Chama, and maybe even had a Shasa Kosher. So, I mean, someone of Taina, that what it is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that in the process of operating on him, that that causes Srisut, which is a little bit strange. But again, this is like, I'm just raising the issues, so we should be aware of the problems. It's not like specifically our problem right now. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's considered to be a Soris. Now, amazingly, Androgynous can marry a woman. Okay, so again, we seem to be going with an assumption that he is a male, but he cannot be married to a man, because if we're considering him to be a Zohar, so then the question is, anybody who's going to sleep with him is going to be sleeping with a male. Well, that's prohibited, right? Now the question is, but this is a very strange situation. Is there such a thing as intercourse with a male that has a vagina, and that should be considered to be Mishkav Zachor? Because that's what seems to be happening over here. This androgynous has female reproductive parts as well. So what exactly are we saying over here? He can't get married. What would be the din if he got married? So Rabbi Eliezer says he is Vadai a male, seems to be saying, because he basically would therefore be chayevin alav sekila kizachar. You would be chayev sekila as a male. Now, is that different from what the Tanakhama just said? Well, there might be a difference. Because if you're saying you're chayev sekila as a male, then that would imply that there's only a chayev sekila if you're treating him as a male. Males don't have vaginas. And therefore, if you're treating him as a male, we're talking about homosexual intercourse, which is anal. And therefore, he would be arguing and he would be saying, no, if you actually married him, thinking he's a female, so to speak, treating him as a female, then you wouldn't be chayev sekila. Okay, so this, the Gemara is going to get into, are we talking about, remember that we have the din of mishkevei isha, that it says by males, which implies that there be shtei mishkavot by a male. How would that be possible? Maybe only in this case. We'll talk about in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, I understand what the Kiddush is. Obviously, the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. Who cares whether he's a Suris Chama or not? He's not usher to get married. So what's the problem? Because Mao de Tema, remember we had that beautiful pasuk, Yilid Beito Hu Yochalbo. We darshan Yilid Beito Hu Yachilbo. So that we learned from over there that an uber, a fetus that's unborn, would not be able to give his mother truma in the event that she was married to a Kohen who had died, right? So you might have thought that maybe we should darshan the pasuk that only a molid, someone who is capable of holada, is able to be ma'achil. But she ain't no molid, ain't no ma'achil. Kamash malan comes along the Tana to say there is no such drasha. You do not have to be fertile in order to provide truma. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omerim, androgynous, who is a Kohen, he can give her truma. Omerish Lakish, note, he can only give her truma, but not chazev eshok. Now, remember, we had this difference between truma and chazev eshok in the case of the chozeret. Chozeret, remember, means a case where a woman was eating as a child her father's truma. She then got married to a Yisrael, and then she wasn't allowed to eat truma. But then after the Yisrael died, if she did not have any children from him, she does go back to eating. That's called chozeret. And there we had an unusual halacha that we derive from the pasuk, that a chozeret does not eat chazev eshok. She only has a right to eat truma. Chazev eshok, which is kodesh, she doesn't have a right to eat. So what Rish Lakish says over here is that the din is specifically, when Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon says that an androgynous allows his wife to eat truma, strangely, he does not allow her to eat chazev eshok. Whoa. So now that cannot mean that there's a difference in Truma Diaraita and Chazav Ashok, because where we would we get such an idea from? Either he is a male or he's not a male. I mean, you can't have a half a male. So, I mean, whoever heard of a male Legabe Truma and not a male Legabe Chazav Ashok? That's unbelievable. So what it's going to come out is that Reish Lakish is talking about Truma that is only Darabona. And in fact, there is a problem over here. We're not sure about the androgynous. We are not clear about whether he's male or female, or it's male or female. And because of that, oh man. The dugma is Gavi, not these little tiny cups. I mean, he's talking about serious drinking, man. There we go. All right, excellent. So, because of that, the Gemara is going to come out that what we're talking about is Truma Bizman Hazeh. And Truma Bizman Hazeh is Derabonah. Now, there's a difference between Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is Derabonah, and Truma Derabonah, where it's always Derabonah, even Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. So, let's say veggies, right? Okay, so there are those kind of chiyuvim are fruit that are not from actually the Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzhar. Anything is Darabonah. But what Reish Lakish ends up teaching us is that what we mean when we say Truma and not Chazav Ashok, it's Truma when there is no Chazav Ashok. So that means that Reish Lakish is explaining that Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, if there's a chashash that if you allow her to eat truma, even derabonah, she may come to eat truma d'oraisa because there is truma d'oraisa at that time, because it's his man where there's chazav ashok, then she cannot even eat truma derabonah. So that's why he says it this way: truma v'lo chazav ashok, truma v'lo bizman shekayam chazav ashok. That's essentially how he understands Rabbi Yossi. So he's not machila b'chazav ashok. Rabbi Yochanan says nonsense. Af machila b'chazav ashok, which means that what we're talking about, apparently Rabbi Yochanan is saying that aliba de Rabbi Yossi, he's definitely a male, this androgynous, and therefore his wife is definitely the wife of a Kohen. So why would she be asura on Truma D'oraisa? And why would she be asura on the dinim of chazav v'shok? Fine. Now, this, by the way, is just a very interesting nakuda, because the idea of androgynous has an insight into the current issues about transgenderism. So, in other words, I mean, you take a look at these crazies and you've got like 40 different sexes. I don't know if it's literally 40, but it's quite a lot of different sexes that are determined in terms of hormones and things like that, including genital issues, right? But over here, you see in the Gemara, there is no such thing other than the fact that you don't know if it's male or female, meaning that the Torah has described two different dinim for sexes. You may not know what sex it is, but that's not called transgender. That's just called the suffix zachar and suffix nekeva. That's all. But there certainly does not exist a different sex. People get so mixed up about this, again, because they don't have a Torah. So now there's a, you know, you laugh at somebody who claims there's only two sexes, you know, so the latest thing, what kind of idiot is, what are you talking about? You don't know anything about biology and so on. But that isn't the point. The point is that the biology, in a sense, is irrelevant. What we're interested in knowing is, and we'll see, sometimes we don't know. The Chachomim may not have passed what it is in terms of a halacha. That doesn't mean that it's something that is a new idea. And therefore, both are true. Of course, there's physical, biological, what you can call it transgenderism. But it's a silly thing to call it because it's not a different gender. You just be mesupik. What it din is, so to speak, that is koveya, its actuality in terms of its interrelationship with the world. So that has to be defined interrelationship-wise. And that the Torah defines in the Parsha of Arayah. So that's why, surprisingly, all of these issues have very powerful contemporary echoes. Anyway,
but there is a shita of androgynous bria b'fnei atzmo.
Yes, but lo yichriu bo chachomi migizork lekeva. That's the whole point I'm making. That it is a bria b'fnei atzmo biologically. Nonetheless, you need to be machriya v'tzork lekeva. Growl, growl. Okay. But we'll get to that.
It's not the way we learned it in Cheder.
Great. Okay, so now, explain to me, says the Gemara, why there's a difference between Chazav Ashok and Truma. So my Shnal Chazav Ashok, is it because Chazav Ashok is Dioraita? I mean, Truma is also Dioraita, right? No. And he's only referring to Truma Bizman Hazeh, Rabbanan. So then, what are you saying? That Bizban Shebet HaMikdash Mai? That you do not eat Truma? So then, why does Rish Lakish say that Ein Machila because of a Shok? And the din is Ein Machila Filo B'Truma. So why did he focus on because of a Shok? Liflog Velit Maybe he died. He should have just said Rish Lakish. When do we say that an androgynous's wife could eat Truma? That's only B'Truma de Rabbana. But B'Truma de Oraita, no. Ah, you don't understand. He's saying something amazing. Achinami Kamar, he is saying that, but he's saying it in a much broader way. He's saying, Kishuhu Machila, Machila Betruma Bizman Hazeh, Derabonan. But Ein Machila Bizman Chazav Ashok, even Truma Derabonan, if it's at a time when it may lead her to eat something that is Truma Dioraita, and she won't be able to be mafchenet between one and the other. So we cannot allow her to eat Truma mitzad ha-suffik, even though suffik derabanan is lakula. So we should say, okay, you don't know if he's a male or a female, so you can eat the Truma, which is a derabanan, because it's a suffik, whether you're a czar or you're not a czar, right? If this Yisrael marries this Kohen, who's an androgynous. Okay, so that's something that we're gozer on. So when we're ma'achila, he only gives a truma bizman hazeh, which is the rabbanan, but ein ma'achila bizman chazav ashok, even if it's only truma de rabbanan, something that is not a truma d'oraisa. It's something that cannot, that is in its etzem, never cannot be a truma d'oraisa. You still can't give it. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar was Rabbi Yochanan and said, no, why? What's the problem? He can even give her Chazav Ashok to eat. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan Resh Lakish, you are really confused because you seem to think that actually the halacha is that Truma Bizman Hazeh, according to Rabbi Yossi, he's not talking about according to himself, as Tosis points out. He himself holds that. He's saying, you believe that Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is that Truma Bizman Hazeh is de Rabbanan? We're going to see later on that Rabbi Yochanan proves that according to Rabbi Yossi, that's not the case. Omar Lay, oh yes, indeedy, says Resh Lakish. Absolutely. Because I've got myself a braita that talks about igul be'igulim being oled. Now, in order to get into the sugya, we're going to be popping down now into the sugya of bittul. Because in order to prove whether we're dealing with something that is a Dioraita Drabbanan, we need to go through the different ways in which we have elements to consider in cases of Bittul. So I want to introduce the issues that we're going to be talking about so that as we talk about them, they do not appear strange. So first of all, remember that Midioraita Bittul is Barov. And Barov is any Rov. Midrabbanan, there are some things that are not batel barov. For instance, where we're talking about something that is usher because it's truma, or because it's orla, or because it's kilayim. Now, over there, we have a gezerah, and they base these gezerahs on indications of psukim and asmachtas, the echad bimatayim that we find in Yecheskel and in the din of truma. Truma's Meiser, which is 1/100th of the total, and so on. But Mi'ikara Halacha, everything is Batul Barov, Midiraisa. Now comes along the Rabbanan, and they say if Truma gets mixed into something else, it's only Batul 1/100. You would need 100 more pieces than you have of the equivalent Truma. Okay, that's one issue when it comes to Kilayim. The same issue would be 200 to 1. Excellent. Next issue. Is this min b'mino or is it min b'she'eino mino? That we have a big machlokas, which I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. You will recall that min b'minai is not batel. So if it's the same species, you cannot be mevatel it because there's nothing against it. It's all the same thing. You're just multiplying it. How is that bitel? Okay, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. Another issue to consider. Is the item extant as an individual thing, let's say a piece of meat, or did you put this piece of meat into a cholent and let it cook for 3 weeks, and now you can't find the meat anywhere in the cholent, but it's somehow or other still in there, right? So that is called dissolved meat. So it's not be'en, and that's going to be part of the sugya that we're going to be dealing with. So is cholent batel? Is there a difference between dissolved? And according to Tosfos, there is a difference, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda never said b'mimino lo batel in cases where they're separate pieces. Now, there's also another question, and that would be, how chashev is the piece that is mixed? We have different levels of chashivut. We have things that are chashev because they're roi to feed to an adam gadol. So that's chaticha haru'uya lehit kabed. That's not batel. We have things that are sold only by the unit because they are so special and valuable. We don't go ahead and start measuring them and weighing them and things like that. And that was Rabbi Akiva's famous edition of Kikrot Shabal Habayit. They're not batel because they're too unique. So there's the difference between its uniqueness, according to Rabbi Akiva, in which something which is just generic can be batel. And if it's unique, it can't be batel. You will notice the implication for yeshiva education today. Then we have the question of the chachamim who hold that there are only 6 things that are not batel. And that's the whole thing of the rimoni bedan and a gozei perech. We've had all of those things before. Then we have another shita, which is darko limanot, something which is sold by number, by unit. So that makes it very choshev. But there's a machlokas. Is that, let's get this straight now, because otherwise we're going to get confused in the sugya. So please keep these terms clear. Et shedarko limanot, kol shedarko limanot. So there's a machlokas about how to read that Mishnah. Kol shedarko limanot means things which are often sold by number, but which are not invariably sold by number. Et shedarko limanot means, as et always is, it's a much more specific preposition. We love prepositions and objects of prepositions. Remember, we just went through all of this. So et shedarko limanot means things that are uniquely sold by unit and never sold by anything else. Okay, now the Rambam, we'll talk about the Pesach separately. I don't want to get mixed up. Okay. Then we have another concept. Please keep a list of concepts. There are a lot of different concepts, a very rich sugya today. And that is called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Something which if you just hang around and have a little bit of patience, you'll be able to eat it anyway. We're not semech on bito. For instance, beitza shenolda biyontov. Wait till after yontov, and then you can eat it. So why should we go ahead and be mevatel? Then we have another consideration, which is hefsed. The difference between hefsed meruba and hefsed mu'at. If something is going to cause a major loss, we're more likely to be mevatelet. If it's a little bit of a loss, we're less likely to be mevatelet, as we'll see in our sugya. Then we have another issue, which is called tuma v'taira. So it's more likely, as we learn from a Mishnah, to be mevatel a tahara b'tahara rather than tumah b'tahara. There's obvious, that's a machlokas beit hillel and beit shammai, begabe trumais. And because of that, it's a general question about the principle. Whether since tumah v'tahara, by definition, tumah usually is something that causes everything to become tumah. So even in a case where it doesn't, can we be mavato, let's say truma tumeya in truma tahara? Okay, that is an issue that we'll talk about. Then there's a difference whether something is an Isser Dioraita or an Isser Dirabbana. So since we have a klal of Suffolk Dirabbanan Lakula, we're also Mekel on the Inyanim of Bito. Then we have another issue, which is Gezerah. We just bumped into that right now. Because what Reish Lakish says is that if it's possible to get confused and you're at a time where the same bittul might be a diaraita and one in front of you happens to be a drabbanan because it's truma drabbanan, we will treat it differently if there is a possibility of a diaraita. That's a gezeira. There's a question about whether there's a difference in a gezeira to not allow bittul in the event that the iser is chomor or less chomor. Meaning, is there a difference between an iser lav, an iser misa, bidei shamayim, an iser kores, where the rabbanon will put up a gezeira, or is it all the same? Also something that we're going to be talking about here. So, let us therefore continue. Mind you that when we're talking about cases where we will be somech on a derabbanan. Now, one of that, we've had this case, and that is called she'ani omer. It's the right to make assumptions in derabbanans. So let's say you have a little bit of truma that's sitting in front of a bucket, a large container of truma, and you've got this cup of truma, and you have another bucket of chulin, and you've got a little cup of chulin. Both of them contain wine. Somebody comes along and pours the cups into the buckets. Do we have a right to say the truma was poured into the truma bucket and the chulin was poured into the chulin bucket, or is that ridiculous? Actually, the Mishnah says you can do that, but you can only do it because the Rabbanan allow you in terms of Suffolk Rabbanan. We don't know what happened. Okay, so if we're dealing with the Rabbanan, then we say that idea of Sha'ani Omer. But the question is, does the bucket definitely have to have a rove over the cup? Because otherwise we'd be dealing with the D'oraisa. And then we'd have to take into consideration whether Truma D'Rabbanan at a time that is the D'oraisa, whether we would be geyser or not. But if it's a big bucket, so then you'll never have a D'oraisa because it'll always be bottle barov. You see what I mean? That these issues interrelate with each other. So you need to take into consideration all of these elements. And now that you're clear, we can begin. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, what, you think that according to Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bezman HaZeh B'Rabbanan? And Reish Lakish says, absolutely I do. In, because I actually have a Braita, which Tosfos says he knew was said by Rabbi Yossi. Remember, the whole discussion here is a little bit of Rabbi Yossi. As Ani Shoneh, that in the event that you have an igul is a pressed date cake, fig cakes. So they still do, by the way. I don't know. I mean, they always used to. I don't know anymore. They still do. Okay. They still do these Turkish figs, you know. But we're not talking about Turkish figs because we're talking about the Rabbanan Chiev, which they did not make in Turkey except in areas where it was Barnea's neighborhood, which is not necessarily where those figs, the figs come from. Anyway, so in these cases, I learned in a Braita that if you have a pressed fig cake that gets mixed up with other pressed fig cakes, it becomes bottle. Now, if the halacha was here that truma bizman hazeh is a diaraita, then we would have a problem, says Reish Lakish, because these fig cakes are very chashiv and they are often sold by piece. And therefore, according to this, if you say that it's chashuv, it wouldn't be batal, unless, of course, we're dealing with the derabbanan. So then, if it was the oraisa, it would never be batal. Now, even though, remember, figs are always derabbanan, but remember, we said that according to Reish Lakish, we will not allow a bittul even on a derabbanan if people may actually do the same thing on a deoraita. So therefore, if we would let you, bizman hazeh, be mevatel fig cakes, then you might end up being mevatel things that are actually made out of a deoraisa truma, like bread or something like that, right? And because of that, I prove to you that there is no such thing as truma deoraita bizman hazeh, and that's why we allow you to be mevatel fig cakes, because even though they're chashev, it's all a drabbana. Oh, my lay, says Rabbi Yochanan, well, you have yourself a braita, do you? Well, I have myself a braita too. Hello, Anishon. The braita that I have, describes a chaticha bechatichot. Now, here we're talking about a piece of chatas meat, korban chatas meat that got mixed up with korban chatas other meat, but the ones that got mixed in were tamei, and they got mixed in to tahor. So now the question is, can I eat it? And it says in my braita that you can. Now, that's true, even though these pieces are generally very choshev, and according to what you're saying, if it's the d'oraisa, we would not be mevatel them. And therefore, you're wrong. Fig cakes, I would be mevatel anyway. And therefore, it has nothing to do with whether it's a d'oraisa or not. Chatas is certainly d'oraisa, for God's sake. And anyway, we're mevatel them, even though we're talking about chatichot. And here is your problem, my dear Reish Lakish. You got confused about what is considered to be the level of chashivut that makes it impossible to do bittul. You thought that when the Mishnah said kol shedarko limanot, that is the correct girsa, anything which is often sold by piece. But that is not the correct girsa. Misa varta kol shedarko limanot, anything that's sold by piece, such as fig cakes? No. The correct girsa is et shedarko limanot. Only things that are always invariably sold by piece. Nobody will sell you, okay, here, take this box of fig cakes. Therefore, since that's not the case, they are sometimes, here's a box of fig cakes or here's a box of meat, right? So take that, and I don't count the various pieces. So therefore, the Mishnah has nothing to do with what you are saying. What was he referring to? Which Mishnah? Who, what, where, when? That was our introduction. Mayhi, the Tanan. Remember the famous Mishnah in Orla. Misha yulo chavile tiltan, shokoloya kerem. So somebody's got these bundles of chilbe, right? Fenugreek. And very special for Erev Shabbos because it goes well with the chumas, which of course you're going to have chumas with chilbe tonight. And therefore, this is nogea. So if you have this chilbe that grew in a vineyard, so now it would be kiloya kerem. If you've got these bundles of chilba, then they have to be burned. Why do we say burned? That's the pentugdash, tukad esh. It's a play on words in the pasuk. Kiloya kerem is supposed to be burnt. If they get mixed up, these bundles of chilba, don't go to the market asking for fenugreek because they will look at you like you're nuts here anyway. But if they're nidarvu ba'acherot, if they get mixed up with others, then you have to burn all of them, says Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Kilayim? Kilayim, 1 in 200 is batal. So if you got 200 as much of chilba that is kosher, so fine, then it's batal. Why did Rabbi Meir say it all needs to be burned? Because Rabbi Meir used to say, kol shedarko mimanot mikadesh. Now, those words, kol shedarko, is exactly what the Machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan is, how to read the Mishnah, which we'll see in a moment. Chachamim say, no, there's only 6 things that make something actually impossible to be mevatel, and according to Rabbi Akiva, 7 things, and these are they. Egoze perech, now this is talking about a particular place. Rimone badan, also a particular place. The Rimonim are amazing over there. Chilfei tradim. Beet, stalks of beets, stalks of cabbage, which are so big and special, delat, yevanit, Greek delat, Greek gourds, and Rabbi Akiva adds, even kikarot shoba al habayit. Now, I just want you to know that the lashon of the Rambam about this is that obviously these are not universal piskei halachas, for heaven's sakes. This depends on the time, right? That the halacha is that it's true. This is how we paskin, by the way. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like this as well, even though it's a machlokas paskin. And that the Rambam says, lav dafka, these 6 things. Hakol, lefi, hazman, v'hamakom. We're just bringing, obviously, things that at that time you understand they're chashivut. So you need to translate that into your own times and see if there's something like that that you buy by individual things always. Fine. So then those would be things that are so chashev, they're never going to be batel. So it's more than just they're individual. They're unique. And they're NFTs. Who knows? So therefore, those things are not but. So, haru'uyin lo orla orla, and obviously some of these things could be orla if they grow on a tree, and some of these things could be kaloya kerem if they grow in the ground, but like whatever it is, so pick your iser. But what we're talking about, those things will never be batal, even in 200. Now, getting back to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan reads Rabbi Meir's text as not kol shedar kalimanot, but et shedar kalimanot. Reish Lakish read it as kol shedar kalimanot, which explains the machlokas about the fig cakes. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said, you're wrong. There's no problem of kol shedar kalimanot. And I'll prove that to you. Pieces of meat, I read, are going to be bato, which is the chaticha v'chatas tmeya. Now, let me show you. Let's go look into that raya of Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Rabbi Yochanan, remember, we've popped down into the question about truma bisman hazeh, because that we needed to discuss in how to understand the Mishnah in Rabbi Yossi, whether we're talking about truma bisman hazeh, or we're talking about even truma bisman shebeit hamikdash kayam. That's how we got into this. Don't get confused. Leave behind the world that was above this world, where we were talking about achilas truma. We have now popped down into this undercurrent about the dinim of bittul in order to be able to establish how to properly understand Rabbi Yossi. We'll be getting out soon, but patience. Meanwhile, there's a lot of byways in this system. I don't want to call it a sewer system, but it's an infrastructure system, right? Okay, so now, that case that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, a piece of meat, Titania, chatichasho chatatmea. So we have a piece of chatas meat that's tome, and it got mixed up in 100 pieces of chatahot, which are tahorot. Now, those things can be eaten, obviously, by kohanim if they're tahor. Or you have the same thing. Let's say you have a piece of lechem aponim, and it became tome, and it got mixed up in 100 other pieces of lechem aponim, which are tahor. So the halakha over there is ta'ale. It should become mutter. Ta'ale is the lashon that we use. Ola b'echad v'neya. So it all can be eaten by kohanim, and there's no problem. And they're not sold only by number pieces. I mean, they may be sold by number, certainly not exclusively in all circumstances. So because of that, ta'ale, says Rabbi Yochanan. So you see, if it's just sometimes sold by number, it's going to be ola. Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely not. It will not be ole. At the end, it's going to turn out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, min bimino is never bottle. Fine, but that's not what we think now, as we're going to see. What we think is that it's because he holds kol shadaka limanot. We're going to ask on this, and it'll come out that it's because of min bimino. Now, getting back to the text of the Braita. Chatichasho chatatahora. How about a piece of kosher chatas that got mixed up in 100 pieces of chulin that were tahar, or a piece of lechem aponim, which is tahar, and it got mixed up in 100 pieces of bread that was just chulin bread. There, everybody agrees, even the Tanakama, who says that it would be mutter to be ta'aleh, agrees over here that you do not be ta'aleh. Why? Because to be mala it over here would be mater it for a zar. Correct? That's all you want to do, is be matirit for a czar. Well, let me ask you something. Could it not be eaten by kohanim? The whole aggregate can be eaten by kohanim. So you get 100 kohanim to eat all of this meat, chatas. You're going to say, why should only kohanim get it? Why can't we give it to czarim? What's the difference in price between meat that can only be eaten by kohanim and meat that can be eaten by czarim as well? So let's say there's a 20%, 25% loss because of the limited market for that kind of meat, right? That's called a hefsed mu'at. That's called a minimal loss. And that becomes an important consideration, is as a factor in whether we will allow bittul where it really isn't necessary. So why should we be mezalzel in this Basar Kodesh? And remember, we're also dealing with a d'oraisa over here. If we're going to be matir it to be eaten by zarim. So therefore, we won't be mevatel in this case. We'll treat the whole thing as chatas, even though we're losing some money. So these things are, so remember, factor. Okay, so one factor is, it is a minimal loss, so it's an hafsid mu'at. But another factor is that it is a dover shadarko. It's not et shadarko. It's kol shadarko. It's also choshev of things because they're sold by pieces at times. So because of that issue, where we have over here, as opposed to the opening case that we spoke about Basar Tamei, over there, we would have to burn up the whole thing if we weren't going to use Bittul, right? So that's a Hefsed Meruba. For that, we had the Shita that said in the Reisha, it's Bittul in Echad B'Meah. But over here, since it's not a big loss, even though it's Kol Shadarko Limanot, it's not an Et Shadarko Limanot, we're going to be careful and we're not going to be Mavatulet. So you see that we have additive elements here. So we have A, it's something that is Hefsed Mu'at, and B, it's something that is at times sold by piece, and therefore it has a certain level of chashivas, not the maximal level of chashivas, which is the Rimoni Badan, not the secondary level of chashivas, which is Et Shadarko Limanot, but the tertiary level of chashivas, which is called Kol Shadarko Limanot. Nonetheless, that's a factor to be taken into consideration along with the level of the Hefsed. Clear? So this is like a quick dip into issues of Bittul. Anyway, let's get back to my proof, says Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so Katani Mia, does it or does it not say in the Reisha that a piece of meat will become Bittul? That, says Rabbi Yochanan, conclusively disproves you, Reish Lakish, where you say that anything which is usually counted, the tertiary level, according to you, is never Bittul. And that's why you were bringing a raya from the Braita about the fig cakes. Wrong. Fig cakes are only usually, but not always. It's tertiary, not secondary, and certainly not the primary level of the Rimoni Badan. Om Reb Chia Bereder of Huna, there's no question over here. This Braita is talking about chalent, and it's talking about overcooked chalent. And the meat is completely dissolved. You can't even find the meat. So it's bini mucha. So therefore, whoever counts chalents, and because of that, it's not even a tertiary level. It's not a darko limanot at all. And I, Reish Lakish, I was talking about where it is at least sometimes by piece. Well, dissolved chalent meat is never sold by piece. I got news for you. That's what we're talking about. What? So then why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it never becomes Bittul? That's a different issue, which we discussed earlier when we talked about Rashi. Now it's time to think about that. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato. Rabbi Yehuda says, min b'mino lo Bittul. You cannot be mavatel a meat in another meat. That's all. Nothing to do with our whole question. So please keep Rabbi Yehuda out of this, okay?